Good morning, everybody. What a joyous day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Fantastic. We've had a brilliant morning already. Well, I think you have at Ully, although we weren't there, but we were busy cooking breakfast, but we've had a good breakfast together. And now we're going to celebrate with you in the church and with the people on the other side of that screen. What a glorious day it is. So welcome. We have hope today because of the defeat of death and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Thank you, Lord, for taking the sin, our sin, on your shoulders. We're so grateful this morning. Perhaps some people might like to pray out.
Thank you, Jesus, that yours is the victory, that we stand counted in and amongst that number, that we walk in the light and the truth. Blessed be your name forever and ever. Amen.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We believe in you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice you made for each and every one of us. By your wounds, we are healed. You declare with your mouth this morning that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Thank you. It's the lovely Easter bunny type carol.
Good morning, everybody, and a very happy Easter to everyone who joined us this morning, whether it's here in the building or on YouTube. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what a day, the greatest day in history. We keep saying that, but it really is, because Jesus is alive. What a saviour. Thank you so much for the amazing start to our service this morning with the wonderful rocking that we've been doing and the amazing music that's been made. And thank you so much, Jan, for making this place rock. I just have to say, right, not 2 hours, or maybe just under 2 hours ago, this lady here was making French toast, or as we know it, eggy bread. Then she put her other hat on and she's been leading worship, and she's also responsible for the beautiful flowers and the decorations. So thank you. Very much appreciated. So, after this morning's service, there'll be a short act of worship at the Cross in Swallownest at 12 o'clock, if anyone would like to go down there. Right, notices for the week, no ladies or prayer and meditation tomorrow, no ARC playgroup on Tuesday, but there is a mini messy church at 3:30 in the afternoon until 5, so that's on Tuesday. We have the lunch club as usual on Thursday at 12 o'clock, and on Saturday morning it's the prayer meeting down here at church at 9:30. Sunday the 7th is David, that's next Sunday, crikey, April already, David and Julie's farewell service down here at church, obviously, and we're having a buffet lunch afterwards, so please join us for that if you're at all, if you can. So on Sunday the 14th of April is a prayer service, and that's going to be followed by the church members meeting at 12 o'clock. From April, the Saturday morning prayer meetings are going to be held twice a monthly, on the first and the third Saturday of each month. So I'll keep, it's in the newsletters and everything. So I'd just like to give a brief update on the AGM elections that we had last Sunday. There were three posts up for grabs, if you like. Livy is now named treasurer. I'm still secretary. And Rob has been elected as deacon. We now have no elder, just to be clear, on the leadership team as Rob has stepped down. So I'd just like to take this chance, my dear, to say, I can't get too far. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you've done for the church in your role as elder in the last 17, 70, I'm not sure. You've been here forever anyway, haven't you? And we really do appreciate all that you've done, and we look forward to you serving still on the diaconate. So let us stay. Newsletters are out. I'm sure you'll have got one as you came in, but if you haven't, please take one. There's loads of information on there. And please take one for family, friends, who you think might be interested to see what's going on. And thank you very much to Janet and Chris for... oh, you're there. for doing it for us. And of course, the website's regularly updated, Facebook page, and, of course, as I always say, just give us a ring if anyone's not sure of what's happening. Tina, would you like to come and read for us, please?
Good morning, everyone. I don't know, I just want to say, I don't know if any of you do, but have you ever had those jumping beans? Well, that's what I feel like this morning, because it is so exciting. I love Easter Sunday, because he is risen. And you know, wow, what an opportunity to tell the world Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So I am going to read, honest. We're going to read from John chapter 20, 1 to 18. And of course, title, The Resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. And he stooped to look in. He saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Praise the Lord, we do. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of her Lord had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around, and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her." This is the word of the Lord. If I could just say one more thing, honestly, David, I won't say anything else. But One of the words in here which has struck me all week is the fact that Jesus knew her by name. And you know, the Word of God says he knows all of us here by name. Now, wow, isn't that something to celebrate? Jesus knows my name. Jesus loves me, and I know me. So, you know, that is great. So let's really go for it this Easter and tell others of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, happy Easter. And here we declare that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And it is a joy and a triumph, because it's a triumph over death. It is something that, yes, we will all face, but it's not in fear or in gloom or in darkness, but in the light and the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is it not? The resurrection of Jesus, a triumph over death, stands as this central event in Christianity. Now, I always say I'm not religious, because I'm not, but I have a faith and a belief in the one who is risen, who lives and lives and reigns forevermore, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, until he comes again and ushers in the kingdom of God in all its fullness. For Jesus came to give life, life in its fullness. Do we live in that today? Do we live in that today? Because here is a truth, here is an invitation that brings us closer to the one who came to give it all for all. This is Jesus who we talk about. This moment when death was defeated, sin was conquered, and hope was restored. This was all done before for us. This is the greatest day in history. Let's unpack this as we look at this remarkable event and as we look at each part of this. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, lift our hearts, lift our spirits, lift our soul, whatever it is we're going through. Not that we put it aside and ignore, but that we come with that. We come just as we are to worship you. Lord, may we hear your word in its fullness this morning. May it strike deep within us and help us to resonate at that great cost. That yes, as we mourned when you mourned, wept when you wept, we now stand rejoicing that all was not in vain. That we stand here ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. May we be open to hearing from you this morning. In your name, for your glory. Amen. So as we look at unpacking this, the resurrection as a triumph over death, the historical reality and the significance of the resurrection. Because what the heck does it all mean if we're not fully understanding of what Jesus has done in time, space, and matter? And so we look at the historical reality of that. It's not a myth, the resurrection. Neither is it a spiritual metaphor. This is where a lot of people struggle. This is where a lot of people can't quite comprehend the truth and the reality of the resurrection. But you cannot deny, as much as you may want to, you cannot deny the reality and the truth of it. For there are key eyewitnesses that were there. And yes, a different story may have been told, but we go back of this historical account that was told since around the year 33 AD, some 1,991 years ago. And yet, it was John, in his gospel account that we just heard, beautifully read by Tina, where he claims that he was there at an old age, set out to write this gospel account so that it would be passed on for generations, not just for a good tale and a bit of a chewing the fat around the campfire or wherever people may be, but that actually that you might believe in Jesus Christ for all generations to come and be transformed by a saving grace. You see, there's a choice to make here. No one's going to force you into that. No one should force you into that. I think that becomes religious, but I'm not going down that road. There's a choice that we need to make. And so I guess that begs the question then, let me ask you, where do you stand today? What says you on this matter of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I could set up a line of people here and start at one end and whisper something into their ear and say, pass it on. And we can get then down to this end and what did they say? And I guarantee it will be different in some way, but there'll be elements of truth within that. You've seen it, you've probably done it yourselves. And I guess the gospel accounts are similar in that way. You see, John states that Mary ran when she had seen the stone had been rolled away, telling Peter and the other disciple that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And it was after that that Jesus revealed himself to Mary, who then went back to tell the disciples everything that had happened. And by the way, that other disciple, as it mentions, is John. He was there. He wrote the account. He was a witness to this. And yet, when we look at the other accounts, Luke, he records a conversation between Mary and two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, as Rob read this morning down at Ully. And it was after that that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who told the apostles, at which point Peter got up and ran to the tomb because he didn't believe. Okay, so this tomb business, but different people are going. Mark records that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the grave and found it empty, but saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right-hand side, and they were alarmed. Matthew, on the other hand, good old Matthew, recalls that Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to look at the tomb and there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down and rolled the stone back and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. The angel tells the women not to be afraid. Come on, there's just been an earthquake and an angel appears. Don't be afraid. Hey, don't be afraid. Jesus is not here, for he has risen from the dead, just as he told you. Witnesses. People that were there retelling this account. What do we make of that? This is what is written. This is what we read. Yes, it's translated. Some things may have been lost in translation. Some things may have been added. Some things taken away. Varying accounts. Who was there? Who wasn't there? What was? What wasn't seen? But yet still, you cannot deny the element of truth. There may be some listening and even watching, not knowing what to think. I used to sit there and think the same. What the heck is all this about? Somebody dies, a barbaric death. Who would do such a thing? But such a thing happened and sadly still continues. And then was buried because they died. Yeah, I get that. That's life, is it not? But to come back 3 days later... But not only that, reveal themselves to the people that they journeyed with for these 3 years and then appeared in an upper room where a door was locked because people were fearful. Why was people doubting? Why was people not believing? Pretty wacky, I guess. But then I guess that's where we have to put our human thinking and perspective to one side. And our thoughts, to be open, to receive the truth, and to stop seeing it from a human perspective. Pretty difficult, I guess. But yet, when we see, for generations, people who have never even seen or read Scripture, some lost civilizations that even haven't engaged with the Western world, ancient tribes, these lost civilizations, have come to know Jesus and believe through his revelation. It's where, if you go further back in John, towards the beginning, it says there, in John chapter 20, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. People that weren't even there. People that haven't seen and so therefore can't believe. Because do we not often say seeing is believing? To see is to believe. I could tell you that there's a huge truck outside, and you may think, well, I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything when I came. Do you believe that? Maybe you want to go and see to believe. But yet, here, for generations since, people that have not seen yet still believe. In that sense, Jesus came for that particular purpose. He came for a particular purpose in the sense that reaching out and understanding what Jesus has done. Reaching out and hearing and listening and seeing for yourselves in that sense of what Jesus came to do. To serve, not be served. To come and restore humanity to God. And I guess there's some point in life, in history of life, where you've searched beyond yourself to ask those big questions. Why? Why am I here? What is the purpose? What is out there? Is there a God? What is going on? And yet here we are still journeying with people who are stuck with these same questions. Yet the simplicity of it is that your answers lie within Creator God himself, who sent his one and only Son, who's wanting to be in communion with us and has made all this possible if we only recognise that Jesus is Lord, who was crucified, who was buried, who rose from the dead on the third day, and who reigns victoriously seated at the right hand of the Father, because his tomb remains empty as a powerful testament to that truth. And so we continue to share the resurrection. As Jumping Bean Tina excitedly and rightly so says, we need to share this for generations to come. That big picture running through the whole of Scripture, Genesis through to Revelation, of one of redemption and restoration of a fallen humanity right back into relationship with God, creation, one another, brought all through the saving works of Jesus Christ. Now that cannot happen if he just died and there remained in the grave. But did we not sing earlier that death has no grip? That even the grave and the entrapment could not keep him there. And sadly, as we look around the world, there's still a great work to be done, is there not? But it is possible, not by human hands, but through the redeeming, saving works of Jesus Christ and through that continual mission that God calls us to. Because it's not, as I've said many times, just about sitting here on a Sunday feeling good, having a good old sing-song and a ching-wag, and then going out Monday to Saturday doing what we want and as we please, and then coming back without journeying with those people and sharing of this saving grace for each and every one. Because it's all by the resurrection that we believe and know that all is not in vain, that we worship not a dead person, but one that lives and reigns. And so that big question is that we may ask, what is then the significance of the resurrection? If that's part of the history, what about the significance of it? A victory over sin and death. Sin not doing what honours or acknowledges or glorifies God, and that separates humanity, leads through to spiritual death. As we know, we may try to hide from this, saying various things to try and get our way out of it, that we may lead a good life and try to do good by others. We may not drink or smoke and give to charity and all that stuff. So what? How does that glorify or acknowledge God and his Son that came to save each and every one? We can all do those things. Does that make us feel good? Maybe so for a time, but it leads to spiritual death. See, the point, we acknowledge God through his Son Jesus, and in doing so, receive the victory and the life of eternal, to be born again, all made possible in and through the resurrection. This is what it's about. This is where we find John in chapter 3, when we find him talking with Nicodemus. You know the story well. Nicodemus came to him and he says, Jesus is a good teacher who has come from God, but cannot do the things he has done if God were not with him. And you'll know in verse 3 where we pick it up, Jesus responds to Nicodemus and leaves him bewildered. In verse 5 he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you should be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit." And we know further on that Jesus continues to explain everything to Nicodemus. And he tells him that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here's the significance. It's through Jesus Christ that we're saved and that we're redeemed for the power of the resurrection. Because it doesn't end at the cross. It doesn't end at the grave. Because of the resurrection, we stand forgiven. And he continued that whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds. You've heard it many times before, mainly from Rob sometimes, where he says, "Would you like it if all the things you've ever done and said was written upon the wall for all to see?" No, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. But this is about hiding in the darkness through fear of what others may think. Who gives us stuff? It's what God thinks. It's what God believes. It's what God knows. So stop hiding in the darkness. Stop hiding in fear and step into the light of the world of Jesus Christ and come and receive forgiveness. Because Jesus continued to explain to Nicodemus, "Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." It's not that we come out and show everyone what we've done. It's that we come out as people reborn. Ones living in the light. Ones that are healed, transformed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. All made possible through the resurrection. Can you see how Jesus and his resurrection breaks these chains of sin here, now, today, for you, for me, for everyone, and offers that forgiveness to each and every one? Death, our ultimate enemy, no longer has a place because it is defeated through Christ's triumph over the grave. We no longer have to fear. We no longer have to remain in darkness now that Jesus has come into the world as the light. But not only that, we have his assurance of eternal life. See, it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to follow and to be assured of that eternal life, because his resurrection guarantees our own resurrection when he comes again. When we're able to, as we often say around the communion table, where we'll stand face to face with Jesus, where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more sadness, because all is washed away and we drink afresh the cup that he offers us. This is what Jesus said himself to the believers. It's what he also says today to you and to me, to all of us. Come as you are. Believe in me, he says. Acknowledge and declare with your tongues that Jesus is Lord and that he lives and reigns forevermore. It's where we have hope beyond the grave. A life that transcends physical death. It's a win-win situation for us. It's where Paul reminds the people in Corinth that Jesus, the first fruits of resurrection, has paved the way for all believers. We don't even have to go out and find it. It can be wherever we are, whatever situation we're facing. It continues to say that it's not him that does these things, but by the grace of God that was with him. He declares it Paul declares this because he says he's the least of the apostles and doesn't deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. But yet here is a life transformed for the saving grace of Christ and for the resurrection, because he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. There is transformation. It brings about this transformation. We recount that transformation of the effect on the disciples. We hear their account. They lived with Jesus for 3 years. And he told them on numerous occasions of what would happen and why it had to happen. But yet still they did not believe. The women, whichever ones it were, matters not, came back because they had seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ and told them. And yet some did not believe and had to go and see for themselves. The resurrection. That encounter with Jesus brought about transformation that day and continues to do so now and forevermore into passionate proclaimers of the gospel. The women feared at the sight of whatever they saw. Ultimately, they saw Jesus because they recognized who it was. They didn't run off. They ran back and proclaimed Christ is risen. It's not through human interpretation, not through a whole range of theologies and doctrines or ideologies with extreme consequences, but by the power and the grace of Creator God. Through his resurrection and power and the saving work of Jesus Christ, that we can become that new creation. Because the significance of the resurrection inaugurates new creation. We participate in this renewal. We become new creatures in Christ because of what Jesus has done and how he's done it, bringing about the transformation in the lives of those that believe him as the risen one. Not one that just died and remains dead, but who is seated at the right hand of God. And though we are reborn and made new and reconciled to God, that then compels us to join in with the whole of the heavenly anthems and the mission of God. Not our own mission, but that of the Ancient of Days, who goes and says to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And through that resurrection of Jesus, offers the assurance and the hope for future. Make no mistake, Jesus says he will return. And if you believe that he walked this earth, and that he died, and that he raised again, then you know that he will come back again. You know then that you have that assurance in a future of eternity, where we so eagerly await the final resurrection, where our mortal bodies, in whatever condition they are, will be transformed and renewed into imperishable, glorious bodies, where we can stand face to face with Jesus, because the assurance of the resurrection gives us this faithfulness to know that we can face whatever life may throw at us. And let's face it, it's thrown some curveballs in our time. But yet we can stand there confident, not boasting in what we do, but boasting in the life of Christ that enables us to see through these things, because our lives gain purpose through the resurrection. We live for eternity. We live for the light in the world that radiates out of us, that is Jesus Christ. And through this, we're able to see and share that with others, impacting the hope with them as we carry on. So here today, this Easter Sunday, this day of resurrection that we celebrate, knowing that death is not the end, knowing that we have purpose, a reminder that Christ is very much alive and wanting you to join him in this celebration, but yet more than that. This more than that. To be transformed, to continue to spread that good news to all that will listen with that message of victory over sin and death, assurance of eternal life, now as new creation, filled with the hope for today and evermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if people would only listen and see that the resurrection is not a distant event, but that it is a truth and a reality that reverberates through history and echoes in our hearts. Lord, that you would forgive our denial of life, our destruction of its hopes, our denial of its needs and our distorting of its possibilities. And instead, would you fill us with your spirit of life, that we might be people of life, be servants of life, encouragers of life, signs of Christ, the light and light of this world. Help us to be willing and enable to change our ways of thinking and speaking and doing into Easter ways, so that how we behave may bear out what we believe, so that Jesus Christ's new creation may become in us not just a hope, but a resurrection of transformation, all by the grace and that great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. All glory and honour be to you forevermore. Amen. There may be some sat among us or even some watching that are unsure of what all this means, not knowing what to take of it, what to understand, what it means for you personally that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Saviour. And as we're reminded in that song, the voice will continue to call. And as I said earlier, there's a choice to make. Listen to the voice and come to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and be transformed for the power of the resurrection, where sin and death is defeated and that hope and assurance of eternal life becomes yours. Not because of what you may do or say, but because what he has done. Or ignore it. Do your own thing. There's a choice. Just like there's a choice to come to this table. It's not mine. I don't invite you. It's not yours. You don't invite yourselves. It's Christ's, who calls each and every one to come. It's he who continues to speak. It's he who continues to say, come, just as you are. Come and receive from me. It's fitting that the heavens should rejoice, and that the earth should be glad, and that the whole world, both visible and invisible, should gather around his table and keep the feast, for Christ is risen, the everlasting joy. And so as we gather around this table, come as you are. Come to the one who is seeking you. Come and find the one who it may be you is the one seeking. Come and find Jesus at and around this table. Let's pray. We simply pray, Christ, who was there before creation, anticipated by prophets, born in a manger, baptized and who calmed the storms, feed us with your word. Feed us with your healing. Feed us with the loaves and the fishes. Christ, who saved us with a cross and an empty tomb, never fading or abandoning us, gather us around this table. Holy Spirit, bless this loaf and this cup, and open our eyes to recognize the risen Christ in each other. Amen. We heard earlier this morning of that passage where Luke recalls the death and the resurrection of Christ, where on the road to Emmaus, two of them were walking, Cleopas and the other. They were quite sad. And Jesus walked with them, yet they didn't know that it was Jesus. And he asked, "Why do you look so sad?" And they was bewildered, they were puzzled. "Have you not heard? Did you not know? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" So Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." Hear what they say. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." They had hoped. Not that they're living in hope, but they had hoped. Was amazed at what had been said. And he goes on, and they invite him. And it continues, "When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" See, people that had witnessed this had had their light and their passion snuffed out at the death. They too did not recognize, even when Jesus walked with them. For they had hoped. They were amazed at what the women had said. And yet they still didn't see or believe until Jesus revealed himself to them. The voice that continues to call, the voice that continues to talk and invite until you yourself take it. And we do no different. Jesus commanded, as we recall on that Thursday in the upper room with the disciples, the new covenant that he instituted through his body and his blood. He, when he had given thanks and blessed and broke the bread, saying that "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying that "This is new covenant, which is poured out in my blood. Drink, each of you, in remembrance of me." And we too, gathering some 2,000 years later, do the same as we eat of this bread and as we drink of this cup. We do so and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And as I said earlier, and as Jesus reminds us, until we stand face to face and we drink that cup together. Let's pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross for redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory in which we will all share. We give you thanks for this bread and for this wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. send forth your Holy Spirit, we pray that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus and formed into his body. We ask this in your name, for your glory. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Come, take and receive the bread of life. Come, take the cup of life. Eat the bread as we receive it. We'll drink the cup, we'll retain the cup and drink it together as a sign of our unity. Come and receive just as you are. As we continue in prayer, we say, your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened up the gate of glory. May all who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us share the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Live in the life of the resurrection forever in the day to come. Amen. Amen.